repeals them, but it leaves the Cadillac tax, the tax on good insurance.
Let's go to the VIP line and welcome Congressman Mike Kaufman. Congressman,
how
are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I don't think I've seen you since the Mike Rosen roast. Do you remember that?
That was a great event. I think the world of Mike Rosen. That was a lot of fun.
It was, and it was fun to roast that guy. We thought he was retiring, but you keep hearing him on the radio. How are we going to miss him if he doesn't leave?
He's still working. He's still working.
I went to the Walker Stapleton event this week, and he's advocating for term limits for congressmen. How do you feel about that?
You know, I think it's if you – and I introduced it in the Congress. Unfortunately, it didn't go anywhere. Mandatory limits for term limits for every member of Congress, and that's where it needs to happen. And so, but it's you know, it's a constitutional amendment. If you do it statutorily, you know, that Congress can just override it and it wouldn't be effective. I would say it would certainly help change the culture of Washington, but it's not the dominant issue. The dominant issue is the balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, which I've also been in favor of. If you wanted to take one issue that would fundamentally change the culture of Washington, it would be a balanced budget amendment that would stop the Congress of the United States from spending money that it doesn't have. I think, and overpromising, I think that'd be the most important issue to change the culture. Certainly term limits would have a positive impact.
When you advocated for term limits, how many terms would you give a congressman?
Well, I gave the same for the House and the same for the Senate. So it was 12 years for the Senate and 12 years for the House. I think the U.S. term limits is, 6 years for the House and 12 years for the Senate.
How long have you been in Congress now?
Oh, my gosh. So this is my ninth year in the Congress.
Well, you've survived a lot of challenges, and it seems like you always have the winning formula. In fact, here's a little piece of some advertisements you ran last time.
Mike's not like other politicians. He's not like other Republicans.
I think he's better.
No one works harder than Mike.
Nobody works harder than Mike.
Nobody works harder than Mike.
Mike's one of us.
He's one of us.
Mike Kaufman es uno de nosotros. Mike is one of us.
Now, that Spanish part, I know you speak Spanish. Did they say in Spanish that you are one of us?
Oh, yes. Uno de los nosotros. Well, let me just say also, and I think that this is the only truly competitive district in the state of Colorado and all the congressional districts. And one thing, I think, if you talk about the dysfunction in Congress, I think it's the fact that there are 435 seats in the United States House of Representatives, 400 of which are reliably red or reliably blue, to where the general election doesn't matter, to where the race is decided in the primary. And so there is no, the appeal is to one's ideological base in these districts. And the fact is that the reality is, at the end of the day, you have to compromise to govern, in this system of that we have.
You don't need to apologize to me. I'm independent. I like that district. And I wish every district was as competitive as yours. And it doesn't bother me when somebody supporting you says Mike's not like other Republicans, but probably bothers Republicans. Do you consider yourself a true red, or are you a combination of things?
Oh, no, I mean, I really fundamentally believe in limited constitutional government. You know, and I believe in, you know, individual responsibility, and I certainly believe in you know, the free enterprise system. But again, I think there are, if you take, say, immigration, where I believe that, I have a conservative vision of the end state that we need to achieve, but probably where I differ with some Republicans is I think there has to be a transition to get there. I think that we have to face reality and the fact that immigration laws, we've had a dysfunctional system for a long time, and these laws have not been effectively enforced at all. And so we do have open borders in the sense that certainly part of the equation of illegal immigration is the border, but part of the probably half the equation is visa overstays. And so So how do we deal with how do
well,
we
how
get
do you feel about sanctuary cities? Aurora seems to be a bit of a sanctuary city. Do you approve of that? Denver seems
you know,
to
I,
be
I,
as well.
I don't approve of sanctuary cities, and I voted to suspend funding for sanctuary cities. The fundamental issue is, certainly if a municipality formally declares it, I think Denver's made some horrible mistakes recently in terms of not cooperating with ICE. When you have, you know, criminals, and not just people who have violated immigration law. I mean, we're talking about people who have violated serious criminal laws.
Right,
Ever
Baez, a known Mexican gang member, killed Tim Cruz at the light rail station, or at least he's charged with complicity in that crime. It's good to hear you take a strong stand against sanctuary city. Let's move on to another area of immigration.
Let me just say one thing before we move on, and that, you know, certainly what I get, you know, and when you have chief mess for the city of Aurora, I think part of his concern clearly is that, you know, there is prosecutorial discretion at all echelons of government when it comes to law enforcement. And so the fact is that you know, you want to keep your city safe. And so you don't want to pursue somebody that's only violated immigration law and not violated any other law and utilize your resources for, prioritize your resources for that. I get that part of the equation. But again, we want to get these criminals off the street. We want to deport them.
Well, you are not necessarily the biggest fan of Donald Trump, and you made that clear when you ran for office this last time, and it was a winning formula for you running an ad like this.
People ask me, what do you think about Trump? Honestly, I don't care for him much, and I certainly don't trust Hillary. I'm a Marine. For me, country comes first. My duty is always to you. So if Donald Trump is the president, I'll stand up to him. Plain and simple.
Donald Trump has talked tough about illegal immigration, talked about the wall, talked about tougher enforcement. His Homeland Security Secretary General Kelly has said if a parent brings across a child, they might be separated. And all of this has added up to an apparent 40% reduction in people crossing the border. Is that a good thing?
Well, it is. And, you know, you can argue some things around the margins that are bad that he's done. Here's what I think that the positive outcome is going to be. And when I look at my district, and yes, I have big immigrant populations, and I can tell you, I in some of these communities have a lot of undocumented individuals. And so but what he's done, here's what I'm hoping that he will achieve is this, is that there was this complacency in the Congress where, you know, the left just thought, hey, things are fine. We have de facto amnesty at so many different levels. You know, people can live quasi-normal lives in the United States, undocumented, as long as they don't violate criminal laws. And on the right, you know, is more rhetorical about being sort of anti-immigration, but and saying we want a step-by-step approach, but never quite taking the first step. I think that he's breaking that comfort zone. And I think what he's going to do ultimately, and he's going to force Congress to act. And I think he's already taking the lead on some of it. I think it's very important to secure our borders. You have to have secure borders. I think here's what I also like. The fact that he's talked about fundamentally changing not just laws as it comes to illegal immigration, but legal immigration and moving more to a merit-based system. I think his first refugee order was a disaster. I mean, and I can't, you know, of course he said it was perfect. Clearly it wasn't because wasn't well thought out. I felt that it was designed more
right,
by campaign operatives.
But what about the new revised travel ban that goes into effect March 16th? Do you favor that? Do you think it's constitutional?
I think it is. I don't know how effective it will be, and when but it's a pause, and so
about the argument by the Attorney General of Washington and others that you can't forget about what he said on December 7, 2015, after San Bernardino, he called for a total ban on Islamic immigration. And they say, look, this new travel ban still discriminates against Muslims. And you can't do that because of our Constitution. What do you say?
Oh, I think that there's certainly laws on the books that gives the President of the United States the authority to limit certain groups. And yes, you can't do it solely on the basis of religion. I think they're right about that. But I think that he's carefully crafted this. And I think it's very hard to make the argument to go back to what somebody said during their rhetoric during the campaign. So I think they've deliberated on it, which is what they should have done the first time, and done this. But let me just say, I think that, you know, here's the end state that he might achieve. And this, if he could do this with the Congress, I think it'd be extraordinary. And it would be that to say, look, we're going to secure our borders. We're going to we're gonna rewrite our immigration laws, and we're gonna have enforceable laws, and that what we're gonna do, certainly those who have violated laws other than immigration laws and are a threat to our society, we're gonna deport those folks. But for the individuals who, the adults who knowingly broke the law and haven't violated other laws, that broke immigration laws, we're gonna give them a pass. We're gonna give them a limited period of time to come out of the shadows, and have some kind of legalized status where they can work here and live here without fear of deportation. And then for the young people who, you know, were taken here when they were children, we're going to obviously allow them to stay, but treat them differently. And we're gonna give them a route to an earned route to permanent residency, and from there they can apply to citizenship based on work history, based on military service, based on education.
Do you approve? Back to the travel ban in affecting Muslims. Do you approve of the president talking about radical Islamic terrorism? I expect you were in the House chambers when he slowly and deliberately drew out those words that have never been said by a president. Did you approve of him calling out radical Islamic terrorism?
Well, whether you call it radical Islamic terrorism or you call it, I think I was with General Mattis a couple weeks ago, and he called it political Islam was the term that he used. But the fact is that that it does need to be identified as something that is, you know, is unique among our religion. And what we have to remember is that the most of the victims Islam.
But whether you use General Mattis's term or the President Trump's term,
you need to identify who the enemy is.
Right.
And the fact is that most of the victims of this enemy are in fact Muslims themselves. And I think in America, I think we have a problem in that we like to see Islam as a monolith. And for somebody like myself, who served in the Middle East, multiple times, I probably have a little bit of an understanding of the diversity within that community, and they clearly are not all the same, and I think we have trouble, recognizing those differences here. And so I don't want to, as a member of Congress for my Muslim Americans, I want to protect their religious liberty as I want to protect all faiths within this congressional district and certainly in America.
The extreme vetting that Muslims have to go through, do you approve of that?
Well, here's the issue that I hope they're trying to address is that when you have failed states, although Iran certainly doesn't fit this definition, but when you have failed states, states that are certainly descending in that direction, you have a situation where there are not the documents that are reliable. And so I think that there needs to be some kind of, I would support some sort of a pause as the president does to take a look at that.
Do you think Sharia law is compatible with American democracy?
No, I think I think it's a ridiculous question. Of course it isn't.
Do you favor branding the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization?
No, I'm not. You know what? I'm not there yet.
Aren't they advocates of Sharia law?
Probably is. But I'm not. I'm studying that right now, and so I'm taking a look at that.
I'm sorry, I'm rushing through these topics, but my time is limited. I want to get to Obamacare being repealed and replaced. Are you in favor of that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I ran on that.
And do you think that if you had to vote today, and I know you're probably going to push for certain amendments, but if you had to vote today, Would you vote for the bill that Speaker Ryan has put forth with the blessings of Donald Trump?
Well, there are actually two bills. There's not one bill.
Okay, would you vote for the two bills?
One is moving through Energy and Commerce, and one is moving through the Committee on Ways and Means. And in its current form right now, I would vote for it. Obviously concerned about it being changed and what changes it may happen. And I certainly do have some changes to it that I'm pushing. And so, but if I had to vote today on the form that's there, I would support it.
Well, I appreciate your direct answer. And finally today, and I'm about to have Christian Sederberg in the studio in Craig's Lawyers Lounge. He's a prominent cannabis business attorney. Jeff Sessions just fired all of the Obama holdover U.S. attorneys. Jeff Sessions, one of the most outspoken opponents of legal marijuana. Here you are, congressman from Colorado, a lot of dispensaries in your district. What's your position on all of that?
Well, it's what my position has always been. And that is that the people of the state of Colorado made that decision. I didn't vote for it, but it was done through the initiative process. It is in our state's constitution as the representative, of this district and for the state of Colorado. I advocate for that position that federal law ought to comport with state law only to the degree that it applies to those states that have made the decision. What I do not want to do is make decisions in the Congress of the United States, nor advocate for making other states that have not made that decision, force them into, do a national law or whatever that would legalize marijuana across the country. So the big problem that we have, I think, with this Justice Department, I think, and if they start enforcing federal law. And let me tell you, constitutionally, in a conservative view of the Constitution, this is about intrastate commerce. And intrastate commerce is clearly, a power of state governments, and it's not interstate commerce. We're not trying to sell it across state lines where there is federal jurisdiction. So,
but there's a Supreme Court case that says that the Fed law is supreme. John Southers litigated that case, and he supported that U.S. Supreme Court ruling. And yes, you're a Colorado official, but you're a federal congressman. Federal law is supreme, and it outlaws marijuana as a Schedule I controlled substance. So if Jeff Sessions comes in here and says, we have the right to shut down dispensaries in your district, Congressman Kaufman, what would you tell the dispensary owners to do about that?
Well, I make policy. I don't enforce it. I'm not law enforcement. But clearly what I would do is use whatever means available, i.e. through the appropriation process and suspending appropriations that would fund those particular law enforcement activities. And so I would do what I can as a member of Congress to oppose the attorney general.
And do you think your colleagues would support you on that? How would the vote go down?
No, I have no idea. I really don't know.
Have you joined that cannabis caucus with Dana Rohrabacher, Jared Polis, and others in Congress?
No, I haven't.
Why not?
Well, I certainly, for the very reason that I told you, and I can certainly take the time to repeat it, I don't want to impose my will upon the states that have not made that election.
What about the some legislation that would say states can do their own thing and make that federal law?
No, I certainly supported that. And I've worked very hard for federal financial regulations to comport with changes that states have made. I think one of the big problems in the marijuana industry in the state of Colorado is the fact that they can't they don't have access to financial services because those services are subject to federal regulations, and none of those regulations have changed. So they don't have the right for banking services. They don't have the ability to
dangerous.
Utilize those services.
And my final
and I think
question.
Whenever you have,
sure.
I think whenever you have an all cash business, I think it is problematic, and it is subject to criminalized behavior, and it's where it's more difficult to collect taxes in terms of not having a sort of audit trail with a formal banking relationship.
Do you know if your constituents support legalized marijuana and by what percentage?
You know, I really don't know. I just know that that's the law in the state of Colorado.
And finally, my last question, and I appreciate it. I'm not a Republican, as mentioned, and I think you have a right to your opinion about Donald Trump. Has it changed at all from that ad where you said you don't care for him much?
Oh, good days and bad days. I mean, I thought his State of the Union speech was very good. I thought that was well done. Obviously, I thought that the refugee order was poorly executed the first time around. Some days that he does this Twitter stuff, and question whether it sort of rises, you know, to the level of the dignity of the office of the President of the United States.
I appreciate that. I appreciate your time, Congressman. Thanks for spending part of your Saturday with us.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Wow. What'd you think of that? When we come back, Lindsay Bartlett, my niece, social media editor for Westward. Check out her cover story. Go to my radio webpage. It's amazing. You want to see amazing photographs? There are 20 of them there for your consideration. Then Christian Sederberg and Craig's Lawyers Lounge. You're on 710 KNUS.